Once again, here's your host, Deb Colletti.
With me today is Beverly Golden, our contributing correspondent from Toronto, who writes for the Huffington Post and many things, all things intimacy, relationships, monogamy. That's why I first found you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, glad to be back, and looking forward to having an interesting conversation today.
As we always do. So you introduced me to Marcy Shymoff, who we talked to. She is the author of Love for No Reason, which is a book you were recently reading. You're a digger, you're a finder, you're a seeker, and a writer. Tell me more, and she was fantastic. And you've written a piece called Four Faces of Intimacy, which I loved.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I was reading Marcy's book. A lot of it had to do with this charming story about a man in his late 70s that I met very innocently, and he told us this incredible story, myself and a friend, of meeting a woman at this point in his life. He wasn't even looking, and he truly believed he found the love of his life. And
aww.
I thought, wow, love at any age. This is an amazing, amazing topic. So, of course, I was investigating what stops people from having these kinds of relationships at any point in their life, whether it's at younger or older. And I was fascinated by the idea of intimacy because I believe a great relationship requires a level of vulnerability, being seen, and being intimate.
Mm-hmm. And you're not talking sexual intimacy only, and that's where you really dug in.
Well, it is, because I think the interesting thing is I asked myself, what does intimacy mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get a clear answer. So when I can't get a clear answer for myself, and I kept asking questions. So I started just asking people casually around me, and it was really fascinating. People were tongue-tied. They had to stop for a minute and go, intimacy. And immediately, of course, they jumped to the idea of sexual intimacy. So I started looking at it, and I went, that's only one kind of intimacy, and often you can be sexually with someone, and there's very little intimacy.
Right, right.
So that brought up the other emotional intimacy, intellectual intimacy, experiential intimacy, and people, I think, have strengths in different areas. So it was like this aha for me, and I kept digging deeper and talking to people about it, and some people didn't want to talk about it at all.
Right.
So that was another interesting thing. They didn't feel safe talking about their where they sit with the whole issue of intimacy.
There's that you wrote about fear of rejection. A lot of fear based around intimacy.
Yeah, and I think there's something interesting about bringing this from past situations. You know, it could start in childhood where you feel that a peer has rejected you, and you just carry this forward, and this kind of frames all these interactions you go into. And I see, you know, it's become clearer to me that in many ways we self-sabotage our own abilities to be intimate and ultimately to have love. I mean, I do believe there's really only love. And people get very confused with that word. But if you're coming from a heart space and you walk through the world like the great, I guess some of the great inspirational people like the Mother Teresa's, et cetera, they're just coming from a place of love.
Right.
And a lot of people don't have the love for themselves.
Yeah, and if it doesn't start there, and that's what Marcy was talking about, if we can find that self-love and way to heal ourselves, you can't love another fully until you do that.
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting because it's very conceptual to a lot of people, and people believe that they do love themselves. I mean, I quoted a line from her book, which I loved, which was a spiritual teacher at age 17 said to her, I love you, and it's no concern of yours.
I love that.
I love it.
It's me. I own that. Yeah.
And people go, what does that mean? It's like, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing else you need to know or be worried about. I love you.
And is that your responsibility? Yeah.
And to be able to do that, how joyful. I find, like, I have some people in my life who I'm practicing that with right now. It's going out. It's like, I love you. I don't say it, but, you know, when you're feeling that from your heart, and I think it is projecting that. And I do believe, you know, I'm the eternal optimist. I think there's a healing involved for the world.
Yes.
You know, if each person can understand that or really walk in the world that way, how amazing would this planet be?
And if we could find the place of love for someone that we're mad at and resent and feeling very angry at, and just bring it down to they're suffering, they're hurting, and love that child in them, find a way to do that. It's amazing how forgiveness kind of blows out all fear, all anger, and all hatred.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, you know, in the article I also found even back in the Bible it says there is no fear, I think, where love exists.
That's right.
I mean, this is a really simple principle, and we humans, I guess, have made it extremely complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, I think I had this conversation with you, where I've been working with these questions and really posing these possibilities out into the world rather than restricting ourselves. So, like, what else is possible? You know, how does it get any better than this? And it's amazing when I started working with these questions, which is comes from another practice called access consciousness,
These
things started showing up for me, and I was like, wow, okay, I'm going to make them more definite questions, like, you know, what else, what would it take, and then for something to happen? So I guess if people are looking for love, what would it take for me to truly love from my heart? What would it take? And it's amazing how posing these things as a question really opens up possibilities for you.
Yeah, when we had our phone conversation a month ago, we really got into that, and knowing it's not about, damn, I don't have enough money, when am I going to sell my home, when am I going to do something, when will good things start happening, and that negative tape we do. Instead, say, I wonder what I'm going to be doing next, and I wonder how big it's going to be, and just put it out there to the universe.
And I think it's actually believing that there are unlimited possibilities. And for me, I've done that throughout my whole life. In some ways, I've been, I guess, self-sabotaging, because if someone said to me, that's not possible, that's impossible, I go, I'm going to show you. And a lot of times there was a cost to me, right? It was really the salmon swimming upstream as opposed to really going with the flow. But I've learned much, and now I feel, I really do some days walk and just feel incredibly grateful. And I don't know, maybe in our society we lose that gratitude, you know, feeling grateful every day, even for small things.
I love how very highbrow people are writing about gratitude lists. And it's not, I mean, Oprah is not lowbrow by any means, but she made it popular. But it's, a lot of people are writing about, if you do write it down every day, if you do these simple little things, it opens your heart, your world, things, good things do come in to you.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, it's not only this law of attraction, but everywhere I go now, I'm reading the same thing. You know, your thoughts shape your reality. I just read something that was, I've heard it before. It's like, you know, I'll believe it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's no, I'll see it when I believe it.
Yes. Yeah, I love that turned. It really does come down to, you can manifest that. Not by doing, and Marcy and I talked about this, The Secret was good, it was wonderful, but it kind of put the focus on the what you get, not who you be. And this is about where you are your authentic self and finding that core and working from there.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, what you're saying now, it's like, look at little children or little babies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're totally authentic.
Mm-hmm.
They have no agenda. They just love. And I think she talks about this in her book, too, Love for No Reason, that if you watch a child or a baby, it's who do you know that isn't touched or doesn't smile or doesn't feel this incredible joy and love seeing this authentic little being who doesn't have all the other, the other stuff that's been gets piled on, right, as we grow up.
Someone said in your, or you quoted in your article, we are born with love and fear is learned. And it's true, from an early age, from fall down, skin your knee, to the reactions to bad people, people doing rejecting you in a relationship, that gets stuck in your body. And we talk all the time about different ways to heal that stuckness. And Marcy, we did a little exercise on finding that place of love in your heart by breathing through your heart. It's so cool. It's all we need to hear these days.
And the thing is, people don't connect. Like, you know, there's a lot of people who, obviously, we live in a world where we live in our heads. We have the spinning, the thoughts, the spinning. And when you ask people to go into their heart, I would say a large majority of people, it's a concept, but I don't know if people really understand how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you talked about forgiveness. She uses another, and I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a Hawaiian. I don't know if you talked about this, but it's kind of a forgiveness prayer in it. And what you say, and you don't need to even say it to the person, it's just for you to have the release, is,
oh, I know this
I'm
one.
I'm sorry.
Think yeah.
Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
I love you. Those four lines, I was trying to remember them yesterday. And it really, if you break it down to just that, you can get to forgiveness. And you don't have to say it to the person. Here's a question I didn't ask Marcy, but what do you think? Can you forgive and not forget? Because that's what I do. I'll never want to forget if I've been wronged, because I want to learn from that learning,
well,
that experience?
Well, I think the thing is not, so what I'm understanding now, and this is very, our astral mm-hmm. selves, like our personality, is we emotionally charge things.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a story, and every time you relive the story, you emotionally charge it again.
Yep.
And the thing is, it happened, and yes, it is a reality, and it is a truth. However, you don't need to keep carrying it forward and embellishing it and embellishing it. It's like, acknowledge it happened, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go, the forgiveness. It's not mm-hmm. about forgetting something, and it's not about saying, oh, that was okay that happened, this person did this to me. It's really about understanding that we as humans love the stories. We love to embellish them.
We do.
And every time they come up, they get richer and deeper, and they have a new aspect, and they're like, wow, I forgot about that detail. Let me throw it in now, right?
Exactly.
And it is amazing when you start listening to people and their stories. They actually believe their stories are true.
Yeah, and we're talking to Beverly Golden here, I just want to say, and I just totally want to add on to that. We get addicted to the drama of the story. Oh, God, I love being able to retell it. And what's up with that? Am I trying to justify it? Am I trying to, I get myself all revved up again. What's that?
Well, it's just really interesting because I think it's the, you know, what I'm understanding is we're creatures of language. Think about all mm-hmm. the other species we share the planet with. They don't have a verbal language, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't walk around in this crazy drama that we do. We're embellishing it through language. And if we didn't have language, I guess our stories would be very different. They're just these realities. They happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that happened. Great. What's next? And I do believe now, I'm understanding that in each moment, and I didn't understand this before. I read a lot, and, you know, I read about we live in an illusion, and it's just a dream.
Right,
and
right.
I'm like, wait, I don't get this. Wait a minute. We're in a real world. I'm physical. You're physical. But what I'm understanding now, the illusion is these stories.
Yeah.
And at any moment, we can create a brand new story, like
right.
a brand new life, you know, so anything that happened before doesn't have to have that same impact
and
in our lives.
Yeah.
If we allow it to just be what it is and was. But I agree with you. It's not about forgetting something.
Yeah, because it is a learning. You want to not have that happen again. Boy, did I get duped or dumped or whatever. What would I do differently? Right.
Isn't that our interpretation? So you know how you always say there's his story, there's her story, and then there's the real story.
The real story.
Right? Isn't that really what life is about? It's like, that's interesting. I was standing there, and I didn't see that happen at all. My interpretation's totally different.
Yeah, I like that. So yeah. The idea of changing it up, and I have this image of changing the color of your shroud, the bubble that you live in. Okay, well, it's been brown for a while. Make it purple, you know?
Yeah.
Live from a different, see through a different lens. And it is a whole different perspective. We do that in coaching. It's quite fascinating. You stand in a different place.
Yeah, and I think it would be freeing from what you're saying. It sounds like, wow, I can breathe and I don't have this heaviness
mm-hmm.
that I'm carrying around that may not even be mine. I mean,
right.
that was another thing from Access Consciousness. I don't know if I mentioned it to
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
they actually say, what if 98% of everything you think, feel, and experience isn't actually yours? Because we're absorbing this every
That's
day.
That's right.
So
it's
if you
their
say,
stuff.
Is this mine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think Marcy has a lot of exercises, too, about clearing this
mm-hmm.
and, like, just clearing what isn't yours and getting down to our authentic selves, what a lovely challenge we human beings have,
and
right?
It's
who
our job.
Who are we really and what is ours? What is really ours?
It's like Marianne Williams
yeah?
says, it's our job to shine our light and it's our job to get to our essence and live fully because otherwise
yeah.
we are depriving our family, ourselves, and everyone around us of the richness that we are meant to be, that innocent
yeah,
child.
And you know I quote her a lot.
I know.
Think she's... love her. I think that she makes it very available to people,
mm-hmm.
and it's so easy to understand. And yet we're people, human beings, want
yeah.
it to be complicated.
And here's a little thing. When you said something before about how we're humans, we're people of language, animals don't have that. Well, you know what they do have that we don't do a lot of? They go out and lock horns. They have fights out in Africa, you know, the bulls and so on, or deers and antelope play, you know. They get out there and get physical. I guess
yeah,
I'm not
I mean,
suggesting we do that, but maybe between this and that.
But can I throw in something that may even sound off topic? Oh,
sure.
How unusual
oh,
for
no.
me.
Oh, no. ADDDDD with me. That's good.
Wes, where are you, man? Anyways, this was
I'm
really
here.
Interesting.
He couldn't get a word in.
I'm over with my crystals and my stuff like that.
And your incense and the glitter.
Which one are you
I'm taking it all
today?
In.
Do you have a rose quartz and amethyst? What is it?
Oh,
today?
He does have a purple rock. He'll tell you about that sometime. So go ahead. Go off topic.
No, but this is very interesting because I was listening to Greg Braden, who I also quite enjoy, and you know, he was talking about there were four, and I'm sorry if some of the details aren't 100%, but there were 400 peer-reviewed scientific studies that were measuring competition, like how much competition do we need for maximum results? Because our society, our world is built on competition.
Yeah.
The results came back zero. Huh. What works is cooperation. So
Yay.
How interesting is that, right?
It makes so much sense. Yeah.
Well, and I just, the whole theorem that I guess our world is built on is survival of the fittest, mm-hmm. and they've disproved that. And even, the reason I brought this up is because you're talking about in nature.
Yeah.
Very rarely is it survival of the fittest mm-hmm. in nature. Hmm. It's only in rare cases, and I know that sounds quite bizarre because if we watch them, we think it's survival of the fittest, but the same with humans. We don't function best using that as our way of being in the world. It's really through cooperation. So
yeah.
this all comes back to this idea of loving, of compassion, of coming from a peaceful place.
Acceptance
place of
and joining.
Yeah.
Right. Joining, not confronting. There was a piece the other day, I'm going off topic, about women, why do we have to always be finding men guilty? And, you know, we need each other more than ever. We're different. We're equal but different. I don't need to put you down, male guys. Or, you know, when a human behaves badly, well, I want to talk about that. That's just a person, not a label, not a thing. We need to cooperate. That just rings so true to me and everything we're hearing and learning.
And isn't it interesting, because even though language is what defines us, language can also make us mm-hmm. have like these open lines of communication, right? And people, I just keep hearing this now all the time. It's like, oh, people are gossiping or people are whispering. And it's like, can you not just ask a question of people and try to get some clarity of what's
right.
happening instead of hearing this language, interpreting it. So I've been finding this really interesting to see how people interact. And it goes back to this idea of, you know, for me in the piece on intimacy, I talked about intellectual intimacy. And I think for me that made so much sense because this is how I interact with people, mm-hmm. right, on this kind of intellectual level. And I think our society like sticks there maybe too much, right?
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
on this trip
in our head, not our heart. Yep.
Yeah. And it's, I believe at this point in our evolution as a species, like it is really time for people to find the way for them. And of course, we're in an individual time, I believe, where everybody, same with health, same with anything, we find what works for us. And there's a myriad of possibilities. Like, you know, Marcy has a lot of different things in there for people to explore. Mm-hmm. And I do believe it's for each of us to find our own way, right? I mean, I'm walking around half the time, my heart feels like it's bursting. I'm like, is this possible to just walk around from a place of gratitude and love?
And you write about smiling and happiness and joy, and you live it, Beverly Golden. You do a damn good job of it. We could go on and on. There's a whole other angle I want to take, but you're a contributing correspondent, so you're coming back in a month or so. So
I can't wait.
I know. We always have a lively conversation, and Wes didn't get a word in edgewise. That's the funniest part.
That is pretty funny.
I hope he learned something quite intriguing today.
How'd you do there, Talbot?
I'm absorbing.
He's absorbing. Oh, he's like a sponge now. You should see him swelling.
Yay.
Well, we're going to take a break. Thank you, Beverly, for being with us today.
Thanks so much. Always love being here.
Yeah. We'll take a break and be right back.
To hear past archived shows and view videos, go to DebColettiShow.com. That's DebColittiShow.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.